All right. I'd like to call to order. I'd like to call to order the July 21st Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. Good evening, commissioners, everyone. Mr. Woods. So I'd like to call to order the meeting and do a roll call. I think we've got everybody here tonight. Munoz.
Present.
Romero.
Present.
Crawley.
Present.
Bates.
Here.
Sedaris.
Present.
Ayub.
Here.
How's that? Great. So we're going to turn to commissioner reports, presentations, and announcements. Does anybody have any topics you'd like to share this evening?
I have an announcement I'd like to make. July the 24th, which will be Sunday, the Portuguese Festival is going to be celebrated. The parade will start at 10:30 at the Veterans Hall in Cayucas. It'll continue on to St. Joseph's Church. Mass will start at 11 o'clock. After that, which should take an hour, they all go back to the Veterans Hall, and they have sopas, which it's a traditional dish that the Portuguese have. That should start at 11:30. And they're going to have an auction, and that starts at 2 o'clock. So anybody that can come is welcome.
Thank you.
And I'd just like to acknowledge the Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Fun Run, how well that turned out. It looks like there was 1,114 participants that completed the six-mile course. Breakfast was served by Shoreline Cavalry after the run, and the Parks and Recreation part-time staff and volunteers from the Teen Advisory Committee, the Four Square Church and community members, were the marshals for the event. And that went really well, and I'm glad. Looking forward to the next one.
Thank you. I'd like to give a shout-out to the 4th of July committee. Put on a fantastic 4th of July show in Morro Bay this year. And it was a terrific turnout, a lot of fun down at Tidelands Park, and we actually got to see the fireworks again for the second year in a row. That might be a record. But a lot of hard work went into it, a lot of coordination with city staff to make that a very successful event, which was highlighted by a bike parade that was the second annual bike parade, I think, attended by in the neighborhood of 600, 700 cyclists from little to big, and a really crazy unicyclist who was riding his unicycle. I mean, the seat was way up high. It was quite amazing. But a lot of fun, so thanks to everyone in the community for supporting that event and the city staff that worked really hard, along with the police and others, to keep the day running really, really smooth, and a lot of fun for families. Anything else? Great. Okay, item A, review on A4.
Well, thank you, and good evening, Chair Hale and Commission. There's several things on your status report this month. On the first page, notice we are still doing lighting efficiency upgrades throughout the city. The bollards in front of the Vets Hall, we'll see them on our tour, but also the outside lights at the community center and various walkways like at Delmar Park and Bayshore Bluffs. The Lila Kaiser renovation has got new life. We have a legislative extension that just passed, and I noted that in SB 87, and which extends the deadline to exhaust the allocated funds for projects. And we did get a project labeled a project up at the state. We just didn't qualify due to some requirements on land tenure agreements. And staff is under the impression that talks will resume, and we will get what we need to satisfy the state and get access to $70,000, which we are planning to do. New scoreboards, new bleachers, and some more amenities for the ball fields. We're still doing irrigation controllers, and we're still fine-tuning that new system. Deferred maintenance projects, we have completed roofing of the senior center, and we'll be going up to the upper deck soon, and we'll be able to discuss more infrastructure on our tour, and that includes the CLIP and also Centennial Parkway. But the Delmar tennis courts have had quite the adventurous life to get them built. You know, we've gone through several different hurdles, and right now, as the project was deemed for a negative declaration, that won't be the case, and we'll be planning is reviewing the project again because of the ARC site that's at that location. So it's a prudent move for staff to do, and as I outlined, it's going to be going to public review once the planning staff gets the document prepared. And then after the 30 days review, it'll go to the Planning Commission for approval. And once we get that, the bid documents are laying in wait, and they should be sent out shortly after their approval. Then we're estimating the construction time between 1 and 2 months. So once it takes off, it's going to take off. And we have an expiration date in 2012 to expire the funds, and we feel that we'll be able to accomplish that. Measure Q monies are basically, we were affected by a lot of allocations to street improvements, and we'll be assisting on those projects in prep work and post work that aren't part of the bigger contract. So a little bit of prep work, and we'll be using some staff to do that. So more potholes and hopefully a little bit more progress, and I think that in the next year you'll see a big improvement in the street infrastructure.
So
ahead, please.
I'm sorry, I was just going to, I think we, there was one on page.
And regardless of it, we got the whole $5 million, and we built a pool that was within that dollar amount. The operating and maintenance cost would have to be subsidized by one of those entities that were there, one of the stakeholders. And quite frankly, the numbers didn't come out. The district, they wanted to use the land in lieu of an O&M fee. The county could not allocate any funds, and the nonprofit groups dwindled down to one, and the Morro Bay Pool Foundation is not in a financial position now to take on a 50% share. So 100% subsidy from the city of Morro Bay for operation and maintenance of an aquatic center would be financially burdensome. So careful what you wish for. I think we were. I think we got to a spot we haven't been before as far as getting a pool back in Morro Bay. But there's other options, and we'll see some of those tonight. It's discussed when we master plan parks, and we master planning Coleman and Target Rock area. I'm not trying to plant a seed, but I'm just saying that there's other options, and I think we've got to not give up and continue looking for something. If it's an aquatic center, or if it's something that's more palatable for the community, then so be it. Any other questions on the aquatic center?
So, I mean, if magically someone, a donor, came up, whatever, with some amount of funds that would have everybody feeling comfortable and some kind of endowment that could cover the cost of maintenance, is the arrangement still solid in terms of the players?
And
that site would still be solid if that, I mean, obviously not a small issue, but if that particular element came back in the picture and there was funds for it, then the project would be back moving forward?
I would say so. I would say it would be back on the table. The stakeholders all mutually agreed to walk away from the table, and no one got up early. And I thought that was fair, and I think that was a relationship that's certainly still out there and ready to be rekindled if funding was available.
Thanks.
So I was going to get to the Brian Waterbury run, and we did have 1,114 runners. The breakfast by Shoreline Calvary Chapel was incredible. It's the third year they've been doing it, and I can't say enough about their organization and the amount of volunteers that come out and the efficiency in which breakfast is served. And every runner that went through definitely enjoyed it. Kitsman's Culligan Water, every year, you know, we rely on them, and they're so gracious. So I always want to appreciate Rob Kitsman and his family and their organization. The Mud Skippers, they're a small band that comes out and plays, and they have just a great time. They're at the Foundation Spaghetti Dinner, and they play there, and they volunteer their time. And we had a lot of volunteers that were out there. We appreciate them, and also the groups. The Teen Advisory Committee and the Foursquare Church group was out there as well. So I didn't want to make sure we missed anybody, Commissioner Sedaris, but thanks for the lead-in. And we are definitely going to do this again next year, 43rd. And adult softball, and then I would website, if you're not signed up for our agenda and our minutes, please do that on Notify Me at our website. And we also have, if you, the next section you can pick is Newsflash, and we suggest all commissioners and residents, if they want to get connected to the Recreation Parks Commission Department, is to do the Newsflash. Sign up for that. We've sent out some Newsflashes to residents of the Cloisters. We've sent them out to folks at the dog park. We're getting ready to send some more out. We've got a big rental coming into Del Mar Park, and we'll throw a Newsflash out to the pups so they get the word out so everyone's not startled when they come in to this business as usual. So it's been a good tool for us, and we're encouraging more people to log in and go on our website and pick up the Notify Me module. And I've covered, I thought, was the highlights. I'd be happy to answer any more questions.
Okay. Hi, Joe.
Good evening.
The last meeting we talked about, or we voted for one of three different styles of teen center designs. What was the result of that? I remember you were going to take it to the city council, and I thought maybe everyone could know the result of that.
Certainly. We presented your recommendation of option six. We gave them five and six. When we presented the two options, and council, through some discussion, adopted option six as the master plan for the teen center. And so we finalized the document, the application for the state, and Prop 84 grants are being sought as we speak, and we should be doing some follow-up information with the state. Hopefully we'll get a word in about a month or so to do some supporting documents, if necessary, and then the award and announce generally in January. So January 2012, we'll know if we've been successful. The plan still stays similar to the pool plan, just not funded. And I think that when you get projects to this point, it's good to be ready to go. So when the funding comes, we can seize the moment. Anything else?
All right, can I entertain a motion to accept A1 through 4 for file?
I'd like to make a motion to accept A1 through 4 to file.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Item B, public hearing. Tonight we do not have any public hearings. Item C, unfinished business, none. D, new business, none. E, declaration of future agenda items. Do we have any topics that we'd like to propose for a future agenda?
Well, I think it's been a while since we've had an update from the bike committee. That would be nice.
I would like to request we get an update on the dog park and how things have been evolving since our last discussion on that topic.
Can I mention one thing, Commissioner Crowley? There has been a lot of new activity in the bike plan, and Barry Rands from Public Services has...
All right. Moving on to F, annual parks tour. So we are getting ready to head out and join the trolley to... get a tour of some of our key parks and some of the key improvements being underway and also in the works. So we're looking forward to that. Anything you want to add before we head out?
No, just some of the parks that we're not going to go to tonight are in the north part of town. We visited those parks last year. Just let the folks know if they're going to be watching the tour on Channel 20 or a rerun, that the large parks, Del Mar, Kaiser, Northport, and Cloisters won't be shown at this time.
Great. Thank you.
Excuse me. I have a question, probably more clarification. When people refer to Estero Bay, they're encompassing both Los Osos and Morro Bay. Is that correct?
I believe that to be the truth.
Okay. I had a question regarding, I belong to two tennis groups. One of them plays over in the middle school in Los Osos every Saturday. And they're asking, we're trying to increase our membership. And I had a brief discussion with Barbara about putting a plug on our webpage about that organization, but she said it's not part of Morro Bay. You can't do that. I said, well, Sterile Bay.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing to tie them up and tie them together. I'd be happy to talk to you in my office.
Okay,
we'll probably work some details out.
Great.
It's a good idea. Thanks.
Okay, so we're off.
We're off to see the wizard. The wizard.
Welcome to the Recreation and Parks Commission annual parks tour. Different grasses and other kind of plants that are going to complement this building and the existing landscape that's close to it. It's scheduled to be repainted, re-roofed in this lower portion in the front, and we're going to do some kitchen floor work. We're going to pull out some laminate and put in some new flooring. And that's what's scheduled for the vet store. Any questions for this side or this building or anything that's been going on? And the one thing is, where's the money coming from? This was a part of our deferred maintenance account that we just established projects. And we'll be talking about other projects that are funded under the deferred maintenance account as we tour. So we're going to stop for a cup of coffee at Top Dogs and then head up to City Park. I will bring to your attention, commissioners, on the right-hand side of Market Street here, you'll see these large red eucalyptus trees that are, they're really, we've determined they're the wrong tree in the wrong place. Though they're beautiful trees, you can see the consequences of the sidewalk and the curbing. So we're going to be addressing that with this tree and this whole driveway, hopefully in the near future. Well, the tree program in general is a progress, is a work in progress. So we analyze and look at different trees for various reasons. So we are working on just maintaining what we have, and when there are hazards, we remove the hazards and replace it with a better tree. And hopefully it's a tree that's going to be successful in this climate and also meets the criteria if it's close to power lines. So the whole urban forest is something we take very seriously. We don't cut trees down because they're in the way. I think that we look at it with more of a strategy and more of a plan on how do we revegetate once we take out a remote. All right, those of you wishing for a beverage this evening, commissioners, I'm going to slide in here, top dogs, and order up. This is one view as you're coming up to the center of town. A lot of the trees that you see have lights wrapped around them. That's part of the Merchants Association support. There's a lot of volunteers that have helped out with putting the lights up. There's power pedestals next to most of the trees. And your maintenance staff takes care of keeping those operating, as well as prepared for like the two times that there's street fairs and the dogs and the, definitely the community driven.
Hey, John, real quick. Did you, was it the city's idea to do the goats in at Cloisters? It's great. It's a fantastic idea.
That staff started years ago at Del Mar as well.
Right.
And we felt we'd bring back the goats and be green and get into some areas that really need to be thinned out.
That was great. Good to see
you. We're around the community center in the library. You'll notice that we did a lot of replanting. These are some varieties of grass, clump grass. And we also have oak trees around the perimeter. And we've changed a struggling ornamental pear tree with a Arbutus marina, which is the center tree here. It's also called the strawberry tree. And it has red flowers and berries that will bring out the accents in the building. That was the thought behind that. And this is really thick bark mulch. You'll see it at our playgrounds as well. We got a really good price on it. And then you have some really prized pieces of plant material closer to the building. Birds of Paradise and so forth. And Newton Cultivation was a major part in this project, as well as the Gorilla Gardeners, Noah Smuckler, and just a plethora of volunteers and groups that came out during tree planting day when we planted all the trees. And it's been a while, but the Civic Landscape Improvement Program is just that. It's a program we're hoping to continue bit by bit, planter by planter. And you can see as we march from the community center over to the library parking lot, the same theme is tying in the buildings, and it's public grounds because it all matches. Once these plants are established, the minimum amount of watering and definitely a significant reduction in maintenance. And when we reduce the maintenance, we like to keep the quality high, and I think that this planting scheme does that.
Has the water bill gone down? I mean, per square foot, if you will, with all the transition to drought tolerant planning and so on, or what are you guys finding?
I think right now it's a little hard to tell. We had irrigation that wasn't on. It was spray heads. Now we've got drip line with a lot more plants and more active. So we're gonna hold up for a minute. Behind you, we almost missed it. All the flax that you see along the hillside underneath these trees were transplanted from the roundabout. And when we get to the roundabout, I'll show you where we took them out. They were a visual hindrance for drivers, but a very good opportunity for us to put them in a location dedicated for plants and not as a walking path. And so we're really steering the pedestrians one way and allowing a plant to flourish in a spot that's going to do well underneath the tree. So it's the right plant, right spot, good application. And we're really proud of the design that you're seeing around you now. Coffee berries, lemonade berries, and I'm not going to get the name, but there's some of the other grasses are a blue fescue that we'll put in here next week.
Carrots.
And we'll be doing carrots. Thank you. And we'll be doing irrigation tomorrow, and then more plants will come in on Monday. And you notice that through just the process of design and being out here, staff, we'll come back and do sculpturing. And then city staff put in new lighting, accent lighting, and we've got some ideas about how we're going to work the lighting. It won't always be these colors. We're thinking maybe red, white, and blue on the 4th of July and things, you know, really uptown stuff. So look for some more action over here at City Hall. That's going to be relatively soon. When we finish across the street, we'll just keep marching. We're on our way up to City Park right now, up Harbor Street.
I have a question. I remember one year someone questioned about the flag flying at night. And the only reason the flags can, the American flag can fly at night is if the light is on. But if the light is off, the flag must be taken down. What, has there been any more?
Yes, we've come to a solution regarding lighting our flags. We don't have enough resources to pull them down daily. So we backed up, like this light at City Park, again, like the previous light pole at the community center, has a backup light. We put a solar-mounted light on the pole itself, as you can see it from here. And then we also have a backup light that's mounted on the restroom itself. Restroom is on solar, photo eye, and the pole is on solar. We'll be doing, this is City Park, and we've got a sign up in the front that says we've got a lot of turf. This turf we think is applicable. We're going to like to keep this turf. We've got barbecue pits. They're brand new. We've got a big double one we just put up. And the bus station's here. There's the Veterans Memorial underneath the flag. So if you get time, it's a good spot to come. Some improvements that we're going to be making in this park will be some grinding of the basketball court to make sure it's even. We'll be doing putting in more bark mulch at the playground area. And the Morro Bay Art Foundation will be spearheading. Remember we had noticed the public art?
We missed the roundabout, huh? What's your turn left?
Oh, you didn't tell me turn left.
What's your turn left there?
Are you doing mulch over by the library? Because that looks like it didn't have any mulch around it, those plants there.
Yes, we'll be putting in the bark mulch after the small plants and irrigation is all set up. We missed our quick turn. We're going to go up to the roundabout. I think it would be unjust for us to pass it up since it's a very visible part of our town, and it's been adopted by a local group here. We'll tell you more about them and get a little closer.
Get another chance of the wonderful improvements to City Park.
Here's actually, you see phase one of the fire department. This is the apparatus bay, and they have funding, and I believe the bid package went out for phase two, which is the administrative offices and living quarters. So looking forward to getting some new digs at the fire station. Again, that's City Park. You notice that there's not a lot of trees. Art in the Park, they filled this place with booths. If we had trees, it would be a little bit cumbersome for them to navigate around them. So it's been fairly open. It gives you a really good view of the rock. We do have two poles that go behind our sign that we hang banners from time to time.
You can keep
going around back down the boulevard.
You
want to go around twice? Then?
Okay. Around many times.
We're going to go around one more time so you can get a good look at this. But the flax was taken out because of the line of sight over by the no left turn. And so we replanted them over there by the library, and I think it was a really good call. There's the Morro Bay Rotary sign there.
Right.
And you'll see those throughout our parks as they've been adopted. We try to identify those groups that adopt city parks. And we got about half a dozen. I'll point those out as we go.
They mainly do the upkeep of the park, of this area, just the Rotary does.
We haven't abandoned them altogether. We go out, we'll fix irrigation lines and do major work when it's needed. But for the day-to-day maintenance, the Rotary members are out there volunteering their time. This is. I thought it was going to be new, but it's see again, other side of City Park.
Well, I'm not sure where we're going to.
You're going to Mayan?
We're going down to Centennial.
Okay.
right down to the black hole, and we're going to be turning left. So you can stop right in front of it, and then we'll take off left from there.
Perfect.
I'm sorry, we'll keep you out of the loop there.
That's right.
Now, I would like to point out, again, the street trees. They are doing what they were supposed to do. They're really big trees. They've got a nice red flower. They really line the boulevard really well. They just happen to be very big trees. And as you approach a little closer, you'll see we're coming up at the end of the boulevard is Centennial Parkway. And this section of the tour, we'll be looking at the upper part of the Centennial Parkway and the improvements that have been put into place there. But I want to point out, as we get a little closer, if you can get a look out the front windows, you'll see the new white fiberglass flagpole with the yard on.
Do you want me to go right to the park, off to the right, and we turn up, and then we're going to go up and over to Olive Street, Moral Road.
Okay, got it. Yeah, it goes here, then Moral Cove, then Bayshore, and we'll get back up to Monte Young.
Okay.
And then we'll go and hit the Barcadero for the final lap. So what do you think of the flagpole? Any comments?
Very visible.
That's the end of the boulevard. We topped it off really well. I think that we might want to work on the planter in front. You see that as we come up to the park, the sign is right in the front planter. We did some hardscape work, some new concrete flat work that was done in front of the stairs. And you see our neighbor is doing quite the renovation to 781 Market Street.
Yes.
And
What is that?
It's kind of several things planned. I think there's a separate unit on the top, and there would be another activity in the bottom.
It's a cocktail lounge.
Hold up for a second.
Cocktail lounge will be put in because they already have their license.
They've got a lot of renovations going. There is scheduled to be a people mover from the. We'll be doing some lighting here, and I'll show you a sample of the lighting. But all these light poles will be probably half the size, with a different LED light fixture. So, big transformation and opening up the view corridor for residents and visitors alike. We're going to be heading now. Any questions about Centennial? The upper portion. Seeing none. We're going to zigzag through town here and head over to what's called Moral Cove. And not everybody knows about Moral Cove, but if you live close by, you certainly are aware of the open space. This parking lot to the left, that's still a free parking. It's not owned by the city. It's owned by the same individual who bought 781 Market Street, and he's agreed to leave that parking open to the public and free. So it's definitely considerate, and it works well with the folks that are coming in for overflow from the Barcadero. Recall, as we get closer to Moral Cove, you see this large eucalyptus in front of us. We had some work done on this tree last storm. A lot of big branches came down, really a threat to life and property. So we cored off the area, this intersection, and a tree crew came in we go up a little bit further in front of that truck. There's a point out the mutment on the pole there, and this section here from the north end here, about halfway down is the monarch butterfly habitat, and that's why we don't trim the trees. That's why we don't try to keep it as natural as possible.
It's called Moral Cove.
It's called Moral Cove. It is a dedication of parkland from the subdivision you see to the left of you. So here's Moral Cove, and we do have plans to do something here. We have
Just give me about a minute.
We had a senior project done by Kat Lewis, and she redesigned this park, if you will. The idea is to keep it as natural as possible, but I think if we could organize a path similar to North Point, which is a natural area, so we could dedicate an area for people to walk on so the rest of the habitat can survive. I think that some of the trees you'll see in the lower section here probably need to be removed. They've been deemed, a hazard, a potential hazard, so we're looking at those. We don't want to do anything too rash, but we're looking to do some different plants and possibly some signage that would dedicate the area to monarch butterflies, and we'll be looking for some grant monies to fund that particular project. So it would come all the way down to the staircase itself, and there may be a few more benches, maybe similar to the trunks, maybe not. We have had some contact, usually annually, when they want to trim trees, but more importantly, they have shown some interest in adopting the area. So I think that, though it's not, it's a homeowners association, but it's not any kind of an assessment district. So any work they would do would be strictly volunteer. And that's the second muttmint. And I point out the muttmints as we head over to Bayshore Bluffs. The muttmint program is part of the storm drain management plan that was just recently funded by Measure Q. And some of those funds will be supporting the muttmint program, which houses all the muttmints in all the city parks. So it's good to see them, but realize they're out there because there's a volunteer that coordinates the program, and there's volunteers that have assigned stations that they go out and restock. And that's all part of your community. It's people that care and that are willing to put in the time.
Is that going to include the entrance of Ironwood and Island Street and Del Mar Park?
Well, staff's still reviewing the agreement with the Morbay Pups because there are some obligations for them to provide muttmints at both sites as well as the park. So we'll look at that. We're willing to work with the Morbay Pups. I think there's an opportunity there, and we'll certainly have a deeper look at it.
That would be great if they could help us out, too.
And then we're coming up on Bayshore Bluffs. This was, again, dedicated parkland from a subdivision. At the time, it was dedicated as an assessment district, actually. In the 90s, that was dissolved, and the city took back the land and the maintenance from the assessment district, which is to the left here, Bayshore Village. And the park is to the right, on the bluff side, hence the name Oral Bayshore Bluffs.
Can I tell you a story about this little area here? When I first moved up here, there was apparently an abalone plant here, or close to it. My sister and I came out here and we thought, oh, look at all these abalone shells. So we went in and we took a couple home. We didn't notice the sign. Please do not take the shells home. My stepfather reminded me that they have a lot of abalone shells out there.
This park has ample parking off the street. We've got a restroom. There's a lookout on the right-hand side out there. There's a pathway that meanders through, and a lot of folks that are local here like to do a little walk. Even the liverboards come up here. We've got barbecue pits. Again, we've got muttmints here. We provide trash service, as well as the staircase. And at the south end of the park, you'll see a large staircase that was renovated about 3 or 4 years ago. So we're out here. We do maintain this park. Any questions about Bayshore Park? Doesn't get rented too often, but every once in a while. Okay. Every once in a while, we do get a wedding that comes out here. There are large birds sitting high above you, and that's oftentimes a deterrent. But it's definitely a nice park to come stroll in, and you also have coastal access with our staircase. Special note on the sign to the right, that's our wayfinding sign. This logo was developed the energy of public services. And public services got the big signs that are welcome to Morro Bay, and they've got these wayfinding signs. And that's, remember, we took that same logo and branded it into our parks pool sign. So there is some shape of branding, if you will, with our logo. And it's been talked about at the marketing meeting this morning. And I think that it's something that we are pursuing. Not really actively, but as we change things, we certainly are considering our brand and how we present that. And it's something that hopefully you'll see more and more of as things progress. Now, this is one of your neighborhood parks that's tucked in the residence on the corner of Shasta and South Street.
This is considered a park.
No, that was just testing. That's an empty lot.
I know.
We're coming down South Street, and coming up on your left, you'll see the sign for Monte Young Park. And you, at Monte Young Park, you have some turf, and we like the turf here. We think it blends in with the neighborhood park theme. You've got a nice plain structure. There's restrooms. There are tennis courts, two tennis courts, and there's a drinking fountain. And some of the immediate improvements we are definitely going to bring in some more bark mulch to cover up some of the wear in the playground area. And eventually the restroom will be renovated, but I don't know how soon that's pretty far down the line as I see it.
Is the playground new?
It's very new.
Oh, because I think I've been here before, but I never saw the playground.
No, I think it's been about 8 years.
Long ago.
Yeah, it's probably about 6 to 8 years old.
Yeah, at least 8 to 10 years old.
Eight,
yeah.
We funded it in 2000, so
we
should
have
an adventure
here.
Yeah. Any questions about Monte Young Park?
How was it originally granted to the city? Was it because of this apartment complex, or how did this become a park out of any? It's kind of a peculiar place for a park.
You know, the actual dedication, I don't have exact history. I apologize for that. I do know why it was named Monte Young, because of the contributions that Monte Young gave to the dredging of the harbor mouth. But that's naming it. I guess I was satisfied having been digging any deeper, but I think that it's worth looking at. Thanks for bringing that up. All right, so now we concluded our parks, little neighborhood, little pocket parks, little smaller areas. We're heading down to the waterfront. We're going to go straight down and go by Mariner Park and then Highlands. Well, we've got a little feeling that with the infrastructure maintenance as well as the landscaping, we feel the town's going to sparkle and be attractive and be the destination spot that everybody knows it as. As you can see, I mentioned something about the streets. There is going to be a lot of funding for streets, but there's a lot of potholes. And since we started our e-request on our website, we probably get about 6 to 8 requests a week on potholes. And then we'll have a cycle of trees, and then we'll go back to potholes again. But just know that we are aware of the concern, and we're trying to do the best we can with the crews that we have for patching, with the big stuff that's going to be coming soon. So that's always worth looking forward to. We've hit the Embarcadero. We're going to be going south in the Embarcadero. And the first park is just past the Estero Inn, Mr. Ken Scott's place. And Ken worked with us when he renovated his site. He worked with us to develop the park that would complement him and also benefit the community. It was a good partnership. I think that the end results were very successful. And you'll see that just the different layout of the hardscape and the type of plants we put in, something you'll see throughout the Embarcadero. And I think when we standardize plants that work well and put them in a good design, they really are beneficial to everybody. We'll do a quick stop here and have a look. This is Mariner Park. in a big belly trash can that advertises our Adopt a Park program, which is your neighbor across the street. And we want to thank the Embarcadero Inn for sponsoring Mariner Park. And here you, we do have a sign here. We've got some new picnic benches. There's a Skinner Memorial that's off the left at anchor. We've cleaned up the benches. The interpretive panels are there from the NEP. And we also have a fairly new gangway that we work with the Harbor Department on. And then obviously there's a dock below that we're scheduling some deferred maintenance to happen on the three docks that we have. And I'll point the other two out as we go north. So this is Mariner Park. Any questions, anyone?
This must be packed for the boat show.
It's a very popular spot on the 4th of July. It's very popular in the lighted boat parade. I like to sneak down at lunch and just do a brown bag when it's nice and quiet. So take advantage of it. It's a great little spot.
Yeah.
South end of the Embarcadero, we've got Tidelands Park. Off to the left here, you'll see this is the bottom part of Morro Cove. And that's some of the trees that we'll be addressing as we look at this project. And these planters in front. We'll change the planting scheme and tie the lower section planters into the islands and into the planters at Tidelands. So we've got a nice connection between the bluff and Tidelands Park, and so your eye is more consistent with your viewing. I think that we can help stabilize the hill as well. We pulled some of the plants around the anchor to just get it visible, and I think that it's a work in progress. We saved the rock rose on. It's just little improvements to these big festivals that make it worth the volunteers' time to keep putting them on, and the city's support just to bring people into town and have a quality of life for the residents. We've changed out the irrigation controller here. And again, with the mutt mitts, this is a trolley stop, by the way. And this particular park also has a fish cleaning station. And it's down here to the end. You see the light bollards. Those are the old light bollards. We gutted them and put in LED lamps in those light bollards. Mm-hmm. And the design didn't allow the water to evaporate, so we were shorting out. So we had to go back and customize our design. So now they're working very well, and we're saving, I don't want to say pennies on the dollar, but I think that it all adds up, and when you can put in cost-effective lighting, you're saving energy. In the long run, we're better off. These are the new yellow parking stalls for trailers and boats, and basically it's paid parking, $5 a day. And what we'll be doing, like the 4th of July, where we ran into there's no spots for a boat, that won't happen. We actually will be reserving spots for special events happen in this park, in this parking lot. We will dedicate parking for fishermen and their boats and trailers.
We're heading out to Centennial.
Okay,
the lower section. Anchor, then Coleman.
Okay.
So one end of the Dark Narrow down to the end of Coleman, and then we'll wrap it up.
Perfect.
So as we're exiting Tidelands Park, I have any questions from the group regarding anything in the park?
Who does the art on the trash cans, and do they contribute that?
The Morro Art Association has coordinated the trash can art program, and they have various artists that donate and volunteer their time to redo a can.
It looks good.
Yeah, big compliments to all the artists that come out and paint the cans. I failed to mention, this is a park that's been adopted. It's been the longest adopted park that we have in the city. It's the Morro Bay Yacht Club. So anytime you see a yachty out there, thank them because they do a tremendous job. They've got a rigid schedule. They do a fabulous job. They've been a very consistent group that has adopted that park. Same with this park from the Embarcadero Inn. They adopted that. They just do a terrific job going through there. We're coming up on the lower part of Centennial. Before we get that, look to the left. What's missing? Newspaper racks. They're all gone from that street end. And there's a couple more street ends you'll see that they've been relocated to the east side, which is less visual intrusive and just a little bit more functional. Here again, as it opens up the view corridor to the bay and the sand spit, it's been a tremendous improvement, I think. And as we approach 714 Embarcadero, which is our free parking lot, which also is the venue for the Avocado Margarita Festival, the music festival, there are the cans there. And just know that there'll be actually a standard kiosk that we're going to use. One comes to mind, you'll know that the Community Foundation received a $250 donation from the chamber. They gave us 20 cents on the dollar on the admissions to the Chili Cook-Off Beer Fest. And so they were very thoughtful, and the Community Foundation definitely appreciates any support we can give.
What's this open space on the right? This is private property?
A lot on your right is privately owned, and I haven't personally been involved in any discussions of it, of development, but I would imagine there has been through the Public Services Department. We'll take a quick little stop before we make the turn, and we can look at both sides of this park. You've got the staircase on the left, and you've got all new plants on the left-hand side.
I know that guy.
The giant chessboard on the right. And we're getting a lot more activity with the giant chessboard lately. And I'd like to open it up to some free chess certain times during the summer.
How does it work? I mean, do they pay the city or do they make reservations?
Right now the piece is going to be checked out at the community center. And they come down and play, and then we come down and make sure everything's locked up at the end of it. But I think we're going to be looking at our procedures and try to make it a little more visitor friendly and keep people participating as opposed to having to pay. And really, it's not a significant amount of dollars. We'll probably get a lot more out of this area if we just provided our new plastic pieces as opposed to the big wooden ones. And that's something I'm seriously thinking about implementing really soon. Here we eliminated the turf on these big planters, and this is part of our plan to eliminate turf and water and maintenance and go into the clump grasses and these more drought-tolerant type of plants, the kangaroo paws that bring up the color. And the park extends actually over the parking lot here. We've got big bellies. This park's been adopted by the Morro Bay Sport Fishing. Morro Bay Sport Fishing. That's Michelle Leary and her crew, and they have to go through here and pick up trash on a weekly basis. And there's also a gangway and a dock at the end of this particular park. So there again, you'll see as you come back on your own time, the planters that we removed the grass and the large hedges and put in smaller plants that are more drought tolerant and take a lot less care for our maintenance crew so we can extend our resources to other areas in the city.
Joe, you mentioned that people mover. Is that going to go on the side of that stairway there?
What's that?
Isn't that what you said, the people mover?
On that left side.
On the left?
Yeah. On the right-hand side. On the right. Looking up. Yeah. So as you can see, the renovations we did at Mariner Park and then at Centennial Park. Now put on your design glasses and look at Anchor Memorial Park, which is up on the left-hand side, just past Rocas. And this is one that we'll be working with the homeowner, the business owner, on this walkway on the left-hand side. That'll need to be widened. So he's going to be coming into the park, so to speak, so we'll need to help him with that design and that change. We're definitely looking at changing out the picnic tables and also the benches. I would feel that they're ready to be adopted. And I think that when we get the new design into that area, it'll be attractive for someone to adopt. We've done a little bit of work here. A lot of this is maintenance free, so to speak, but there's always weeds and things to be done along the harbor walk. This little planter to the left, it doesn't seem like much, but there were some staff did some work there clearing it out before the holidays, as well as the Morro Bay Gorilla Gardeners. We got a shout out to the Gorilla Gardeners as we got a little time as we go to Coleman. This band of young men and women that are, volunteer for the city to do various landscaping jobs at various parts of the city. They've been instrumental in the Civic Landscape Improvement Program. They just do a big variety of and odd jobs that we may not be attending to on a regular basis, and they certainly have helped us out in getting planter beds to the point where we can maintain them with our level of staffing. This is the beginning of the Harbor Walk bike path. You can see this parking lot to the left is dedicated for visitors that are going to be getting on the Harbor Walk. Now, this is where the master planning comes in, and the process you will be in hopefully relatively soon. But the master planning of Coleman Park, and that's basically, as you see, the Embarcadero dirt extended goes north. It also goes south about, I don't know, 50 feet here, and that's where we start Coleman Park. Here is our sign and our vista point, the bench vista, we call that right there, and you get a nice little view. You'll see that bulb out on the Harbor Walk. That'll be the venue for the new interpretive panel. I'm hoping that the Scenic Byways program continues and the interpretive panels get developed, and one is scheduled to go right there. We do have some swings, and we've got a work order to fix that broken one. But here's we've got a restroom and a couple of picnic tables on the left side, and the picnic tables here. There is hope for this park. I think that it's a prime location, and I think master planning this area is going to be instrumental in our town. Can you make it around there? We're going ahead and venture in. Remember the old skate park modular was here on the west side, and now we instead of just trashing everything, and we just left it there, painted the asphalt, and put up some hoops. The fencing works really nice, and it's open to the public anytime. Well, actually, it closes at dusk, so 7 to dusk.
I see it used to. When I take my dogs for a walk here, I see a lot of kids playing basketball. So it is being used.
So you have an opportunity here to...
I don't think we're going to get out.
I'm not. I have to check to make sure that there's nothing behind me.
Okay. So to develop this park master plan, we're going to have some public input, obviously, in public workshops, and we're going to be basing it on the waterfront master plan. And so as we get into the process, it's got a lot more potential. So this park here, when we get there, right now, we'd like to see you be an advocate for recreational parks. So as a commissioner, the things that we talked about today, the park development, the future of Morro Bay, what kind of amenities and services the community wants, that's what I'm looking for.
You want to turn to the rock, huh?
Oh, I didn't know where you wanted to go. I'm sorry. I'll go back to the rock.
See, some of the parking here has just been left open, and that's kind of like the beach atmosphere. So I think that attracts people. I don't think that everyone wants to be herded into a stall. And I think that when public services were planning this Harbor Walk, and a lot of credit to Bill Bowser. And
what I see a lot is these people that have kayaks or the big surf boards. That's where they park.
Because
it's
more convenient for them. Yeah, there's been a lot more stand-up paddleboarders.
Yes.
It's
nice.
Yes. I was just going to finish my thought. It was Bill Boucher and Dylan Wade, a huge part of the success with this. Stand-up paddleboarding has become very big, and basically we just permitted some races. There's going to be a series of 6 races starting at Coleman. And it's every couple of weeks the stand-up paddle company Matt is doing at Hudgens.
Yeah.
And then the awards is, I think, in August or September down at Titans Park. So it's kind of like it really is taking off. So here's your park all the way down to here. So there's a lot of Coleman to be worked with. And we come up to Target Rock on the left, and now the council's interest, we're hoping to possibly bring this parking lot into this master plan. So there'll be a lot of stakeholders that want to weigh in. You want to go to the end and then loop around?
All the way down?
You can go around that pole before Target Rock there.
Okay.
Wherever it's convenient, that's that. So you know that you've seen the plans that have come through from Cal Poly and their students in landscape architecture. And that's all the area that we see to the left. It includes a road alignment that brings Coleman closer to the rock, frees up more of the property that's adjacent to the bay. And the initial concepts are, they range from everything you can think of, but really not planning any structures, not planning any real super formal, but I think there's been some passive use, like you see over here to the west here, just benches and areas for people to fish. This south end will be the area for the Central Coast Women's Fisheries Monument for those who are out to sea. And that is going to be reviewed at your next meeting, I believe, as public art donation. Part of the process for public art.
I mean, it has so much potential. It's one of the biggest spots in town, so we might.
It reminds me of the development in Tiglands Park when it was very similar terrain. And now, through the public process, the park was developed and constructed. And you see what a nice addition that park is to the south side of the Embarcadero. And staff believes we can take bookends and make this part of the Embarcadero, or Coleman Drive, if you will, the same beauty that Titans has. Different functions, but definitely the same park beauty. And then obviously you see all the parking to the north here, in that big parking lot, and that is just a really big canvas to work with, and realizing the amount of traffic that comes here. And so what we're going to be doing in the interim before any kind of development is increase our maintenance and try to come out here more than just twice a year, but actually come out here maybe three or four times and put some more material down and wet and roll. And that's our street maintenance crew. And so we're limited with the guys, but we'll do the best we can. We are definitely trying to bump up the frequency at this area. Any other questions?
People always ask about this parking lot, why it's never paved over.
No. The paving of this parking lot is something that shouldn't be addressed lightly. And the type of road, the amount of material that goes in would be significant. So you really have to have a plan. There is the existing plan now has just a strip of road that goes out to the riprap and does a frontage, if you will, basically leading you in and giving you a parking spot. So there may be an opportunity there for more, and I think that any landscaper or park design person would say, yeah, there's a lot of potential. So I think that through the public process, the master planning process of Coleman and Target, we incorporate the same scheme at the Rock parking lot. And obviously it's going to be a phase type of a project. So this concludes our 2011 Recreation and Parks Commission Parks Tour. Any other questions before we conclude the tour? Well, if you think of some on the way back, I'd be happy to answer them. This little plot of plants here to the right has been adopted by the Morro Bay Garden Club. And as we go through town, you'll see small trees that have been planted in the street trees. Those are volunteer that are putting those in. The Morro Bay Guerrilla Gardeners are one. The members of the tree committee have done a tremendous job in raising money and planting and adopting street trees. So if you want to get involved in plants and trees. The tree committee is certainly something that you need to look for, and I think you can contact Councilman Noah Smuckler, and his contact information is on our website.
They're trying to start that.
Just a reminder, all the parks that we looked at that we're going to develop, that's why we went out there and looked at Morro Cove and Coleman and Target Rock and looked at Bayshore Bluffs, because I think there's if you get an opportunity to go out there by yourself or with a friend or a family member, look at the park as a commissioner, not just as an attendee, and think of ways how we can improve things. And you know, my door is always open. So thanks again to all the commissioners and guests that participated in the tour. Special thanks to our driver, Camille.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So you did
okay.
And one more thanks to HP Video for showing the versatility and the expertise to come out in the field with us. We appreciate it. Brian and Zeke, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And don't forget to ride the trolley just to see what the trolley is all about.
You can see how much fun we have. The trolley is definitely for you if you're out there contemplating.
Yeah. Get
thanks for the cocktail.
Motion to adjourn.
I second the motion.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you for the
bye. And bye.
I'll give you a call about when you get it.
Definitely. Very welcome. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the evening. If you're up late, time to go to bed.
Yes. And thank you.
You're very welcome.
A wonderful ride.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Joe.